Shalom, shalom, everybody. I'm not a good multitasker, so I'm trying to type and say hello at the same time. Shalom, shalom to everybody. Welcome to the Restoration Hour, and it is super good to see you all. And yes, I am busy typing and want to finish the next thing that I just said. And yes, I hope that you've all had such a wonderful weekend and such a great week and such a bless your butt. And I always wish that for everybody and hope that for everybody. It was so weird because our week was like so crazy that I really woke up this morning thinking it was Monday, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got so many things to do. And I was like running around, and it's so crazy how that happens, Yosef, how a day, you can just lose an entire day out of your week because your week has been so crazy, and it's like, it's Monday. And I was like, no, wait a minute, it's not, it's the Restoration Hour, and how exciting and how great to be here. So as I say, I hope you've all had a wonderful weekend and that you didn't wake up like me and think it was Monday already and you had missed this great and fabulous Sunday. So you know what? It's going to be a great time on the show, on the Restoration Hour. We're going to have some fun together, but also we're going to be talking about, you know, something that the Abba Father has been laying on our hearts. And it's I guess slightly a little bit challenging for us because we're not the kind of people that, you know, go around sharing our testimony a lot. It's just not something that we do because we know that Yahweh has called us to proclaim his word. So we'd rather just proclaim his word than, you know, tell you all about us. But this evening, Abba Father really wants us to speak about purpose and discovering purpose and, you know, just kind of an insight or maybe just like a tiny little glimpse of, you know, how Abba Father has been leading our hearts today to share with you about certain things that have happened in our lives and how we discovered things about ourselves and how we discovered giftings that we had and how we, you know, we're really trained to use those things and do those things by Abba Father and how that translates to your life too. Because yes, although we are all on a unique journey and we all have a unique path, you know, the reality is that the things that we go through in our lives and the way that Abba Father teaches us or the way that he mentors us or the way that he challenges us is sometimes quite similar. And there are lessons that we learn that we want to impart to you today. And we know that Abba Father is stirring our hearts to do that. So in obedience to him, we, you know, present this time to him and say that he must just take control. And whatever you need this evening, that you will receive from him and that we also will have our hearts stirred so that we will just be in line with his perfect will. And that brings me to you, Yosef, looking super excited this evening. And I know that it's don't be shaking your head. You love sharing your testimony. And you know what? Actually, this week, we get emails a lot asking, where's Yosef's testimony? Is it on YouTube? And it is on YouTube. But we're not even going to be talking about that part of Yosef's testimony. Today is all really about purpose and how Abba Father really spoke to us. And we pray that you would really be inspired. Yosef, welcome to you. It's going to be a great time.
Shalom, everybody. You know, Leah said when she started that she thought it was Monday. When she woke up this morning, I'm blessed because I thought it was Shabbat, so I'm still on the slow vibes and just enjoying my day, so everything's good. But you know, like Aaliyah says, it's important that we understand, you know, our purpose, but more importantly, how do we develop what the Father has told us? How do we develop into being the person that Yahweh has created us to be? And you know, many times throughout my life, I've had many times where people have prayed over my life or from a very young age, or even, you know, after the drug episode and the things that I did. When I landed up in rehab, there were many times where the Father would speak to me through, you know, someone else, through maybe a pastor or a mentor or somebody. And then Yahweh would share something with me through this person, and it would be a glimpse of who Yahweh wanted me to be. But at the same time, it would be kind of just this understanding of, you know, this is who the Father wants you to be, but there was no one telling me how to become that person. There was nobody helping me to develop into that person or share with me, you know, how do I develop my gifts, or how is this going to actually happen? How is this going to develop in real life? What is going to take place in order for me to become the person that Yahweh wants me to be. And I want to share something with you this evening. Don't be fooled in thinking that, you know, Yahweh just comes along and by a miracle, he just taps you on the shoulder and all of a sudden everything falls into place. Mm. Never ever do we ever read in the scriptures anyone that is blessed to automatically just become the person that Yahweh creates them to be within a day. You know, the entire Torah is a history of a people. It's a history of people that have been called by Yahweh to become the people that they are called to be. And you know, Abraham, Moses, all the prophets, you know, all the disciples, everybody that you read about was shaped. And we just see glimpses of their lives at certain points. But the truth of the matter is that they go through a journey. And that journey is never always detailed in full detail about how Yahweh actually showed them how to become who they needed to be. And most of the time, when you read the scriptures, 95% of the time, or actually 99.9% of the time, everybody's scared. Everybody's uncertain about, you know, what Yahweh has told them from when they were small or from the very beginning. We see David, we see Moses, you know, we see great men and women of Yahweh being told at some point in their life who they are meant to be, but how long that journey actually takes and the things that they have to go through in order to become those people. So this evening, I'm excited because I think that for each one of us, we all at different stages in our walk with the Father. And we've said this over and over. We're heading to a time, Aaliyah, where the Father is calling us forth. He's calling us to become his army, to become his bride, to become a light to the nations, to be the people that he wants us to be. And in order for us to do that, we cannot just say, well, you know what, I'm a Torah keeper, or hey, you know what, I'm a messianic, or hey, you know what, I'm a follower of Yeshua. We have to come to a point where we understand who we are in Messiah Yeshua. Not a cliched phrase, not a you know, biblical understanding of this. Yes, and it needs to be biblical for sure, but at the same time, it needs to be your understanding. It's kind of like somebody coming to you with a blank piece of paper and a file and saying to you, I want you to write down exactly a full page of who you see yourself to be. And then I'm going to take that from you, and then we're going to look at who you are. And then based on what you have written, we are going to design a work package for you. Imagine that. Now you have the ultimate opportunity to write down exactly who you are, what you're good at, what you're able to do. And based on that, we're going to give you, you know, a working station. We're going to help you. And that's what Yahweh says to us. He's kind of saying to you, I want to give you your design. I want to give you this ability to forge out and to work with me and walk with me to come to a place where you discover who you are. And this whole thing of purpose, or this whole thing of becoming the person that Yahweh wants you to be, it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And it's also a time where you, it works very strangely. It's kind of like, when you discover a little bit and you dig deeper, it's almost as if the treasure trove just opens and you discover more. But what I was trying to explain from the beginning, and what I want to say to you tonight, life is the battlefield, or it's the learning field. It's the place where Yahweh takes us through in order for us to discover more of who we are. If we do not do life, if we do not do, you know, this walk with the Father, life, whether it be going to work or whether it be, you know, sharing your testimony once in 5 years or whatever it might be, whatever Yahweh has given to you to do, that place, that training ground is all there to help you discover more of who you are. Not only your giftings, but your character, your flaws, the things you struggle with, the ups, the downs, the inward workings of who you actually are. And there is only two people that really know who you are. We can say, oh, our husbands, our wives, they know who we are. But the truth of the matter is, it's only you and Yahweh that really, truly know what's going on inside your life.
Mm. I remember in psychology, we learned about something called Johari's window. And I loved the way that Johari's window works, because like you're saying, it's divided into four blocks. And it's the first block is what you know about yourself and what others know about you. The second is what others know about you, but you don't know about yourself. The third is what you know really about you, but others don't. And then the fourth is what you don't know about yourself. And what I would insert there is what Yahweh knows about you. And you know, before we share, you know, parts of our story, I want to say to you today, you know, if there was no such thing as fear in your life, what would you do if you weren't afraid today? You know, that is the question I want to ask you as we chat this evening. You know, what would you do if you didn't feel fear today? What would you do if there was no obstacles in your way. If, you know, finances or health or, you know, your environment or where you live or, you know, a relationship that you're in, whatever it may be, or, you know, pain that you still have or things that you're trying to work through, whatever. But more specifically, fear as well, because fear holds us back. You know, we are called for a big life, and we try and play it small because we've been taught that way. And we've had very well-meaning pastors and preachers and teachers throughout the, I would say, decades who actually encourage us to be small people. And I know for a fact that that is a reality, because it was something I had to face in my life. The reality of fearing having a big life. And that may sound strange, because, you know, today you think, well, what stops you from having a big life, or why would you fear that? But we are taught so much about things like, make sure, and you hear people say this, make sure that when you on stage, or when you get all these things, make sure that it glorifies God and doesn't glorify you. You know, people begin to put that upon you. Or, you know, I had one time where somebody was introducing me, and I was going to preach the word, and I came to preach the word, and they were introducing me and reading from, you know, kind of, you know, your biography that people read before you speak somewhere, because they're introducing you. And Yusuf, you were with me that day, and the lady was so unsettled while she was reading my, you know, biography, and she kept pausing and being unsettled and saying, I don't know how to read all of this. I don't know. And I remember her coming afterwards to me and saying, you must have a lot of problems in your life because you've achieved so much. You must feel you always need to prove yourself. And I'd never, ever had someone say that to me, because it was so straight from the enemy. I've never felt that way. I never felt like I needed to prove myself to anybody. And why I'm sharing this evening is because, you know, for a lot of us, there is a lot of things that happen in our lives that try and prevent us from being the people that Yahweh truly called us to be. And sometimes that will happen in your congregation. It will happen around you. And that is why, you know, the enemy uses people to try and get us to play a small life. The enemy was using the exact same tactics right there in that lady that he used in my father growing up. You know, trying to get me to have a small life. I was not created for a small life, and I'll never play small. But for many years of my walk with Yeshua, I played small, and I was handed opportunities that were Yahweh ordained that I never took, because I was afraid. I was afraid that, what does it mean if I take that opportunity? What does it mean if I go and meet that director that wants to meet me to talk to me about turning my book into a film? What would it mean if that happened? What would that mean? And I would let those opportunities go. And this was around about 2012, 2013, because I had a voice inside my head that said, you know, you have to be careful. You must, as a believer, you must be careful, because you can get pride in your life. Or you could this, you could that. Who are you to have a big life? No, you must play it small. And there are all these messages that we receive around us. And it was Yahweh who came in, and he really broke that out of me. I was fearful of big things. I was, even though I was doing big-ish things, it wasn't as big as what Yahweh had created me to be and to do and to fulfill. And it was because I had believed, you know, theological messages. I had believed, be afraid of pride, be afraid of glorifying yourself. Yes, we must always glorify Yeshua, but we have to live so in Yeshua that, you know, pride is nowhere near you. Because what Yahweh revealed to me is that pride is a heart condition, Yosef. And some people, if they don't guard their hearts, can fall into that. But if you guard your heart, you won't fall into that. That's not everybody's story. But there's this theological message or these sermons that's preached to say, you must do this, you must do that, you must do that. And what does it do? It builds a box of fear around our hearts. It builds a box of fear around our minds to say that if you're going to achieve these big things, or God is going to give you these things, or he's going to do this for you, he's going to bless you in this way, then you're going to become something other than what he created you to be. No, That is not true. When Yahweh is favors upon you, it says, and we said it the week before last week on the Restoration Hour, what does it say about David? That whatever he put his hands to do, it prospered because Yahweh was with him. Why are we afraid? When we look at the biblical matriarchs and patriarchs, they were never afraid to live a big life. You know, Abraham was called a friend of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. He was tested. He had 10 tests of faith that he passed. Hallelujah. And he became a friend of Yahweh. And what does it also say? It says that he was blessed. In everything, Abraham was blessed. And the blessings that he had and the purpose that he had to fulfill did not make him any less a friend of Yahweh than, you know what, anybody else. His destiny was to live a big life. He became the person, the founding father of a nation. That is a big life. That is a massive calling. That is a huge thing. Imagine Yahweh comes to you today and says, hey, you know, you're going to birth an entire nation of people, and they're going to be numerous as the stars of heaven. It's going to come from you. And you're like, no, Yahweh, please go and choose someone else, because I'm afraid that if you do this, I'm just going to get a prideful heart. And Yahweh's like, you know what? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I've chosen you. You can guard your heart. You can just live with me and just be who I created you to be, in the same way that Deborah did, that Esther did, that Ruth did, that Mary, the mother of Yeshua, did. Think about it, Yosef. Mary was 12 or 13 years old when the angel Gabriel appears to her and says, you are favored by God. Now imagine Yahweh turning up, and maybe it has happened for some of you, because I know that I've been in meetings and conferences with some of you and camps with some of you where you've had very strong prophetic words spoken over your life, and Yahweh has declared to you that you are a daughter of Zion, that you are favored by him, that you are chosen by him. And you know what? That is who you are. And it's not about letting that words go. It's not about not believing, but it's about saying, thank you, Yeshua, I receive it. What did Mary say when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, you are favored by God. You are going to have a son. You will name him Yeshua, and he will be the savior of everything. Mary was scared. She had a tiny little bit of a conversation with Gabriel, but she actually then said, may it be as God wants it to be. Because she received who she was. I am favored by God. No, she didn't walk around telling everybody that she was favored by God. She held it in her heart and she knew who she was. And that favor of God, you know, kind of followed her whole life. And who she was created to be, she was the mother of Yeshua. That was her identity and it was also her purpose. She raised him, she was with him, she cared for him, and she was with him at the end. And she was with him actually when he resurrected, and she was there, it says, in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell. That identity and purpose placed her everywhere where Yahweh was moving. And isn't that amazing? If we can stop thinking that we have to live a small life, we can be set free of all the messages that people have said to us, whether it be our family members, whether it be people in our congregation, whether it be, you know, friends that have said nasty things, and especially family members. I also feel strongly this evening, because our families are the ones that are really there in the formative years, and they really say some really bad things to us. And sometimes it's our grandparents, sometimes it's our parents. They don't realize that those messages follow us. And when we throw that off, we can say, Abba Father, what is it that you're calling me to do? And what is it that you say about my life? What is it that you call me? What is it that you're saying to me? And I want to encourage you today to not fear living a big life, because we were created to live a big life. That is Yeshua's plan for all of us. You know, it says that he's given us all things for life and godliness. And think about what you would do today if you weren't afraid. And who would you be today if you weren't afraid? Afraid maybe of having a big life, afraid maybe that you will fail, afraid that of whatever it may be. And lastly, before Yosef, I hand to you. And, you know, one of the things I also wanted to say is that just sometimes we have to really lean into something. Yahweh says to us, for example, oh, you're going to create music for me. Just say as an example. And we write our first song, and then, you know, we play it and it doesn't really go down very well. Or, you know, it doesn't, you know, really, you know, it doesn't just latch on and things aren't, you know, great. Don't give up. Sometimes people do things once and then they're like, well, I didn't really do that so well, or I didn't really get into that thing so good, or that, you know, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit move when I did that thing, or no one's life was touched or whatever. It doesn't work like that. You've really got to do something for a very long time, and the obedience ushers in Yahweh's Spirit to move, and obedience is then the key. So even if you've done something once, or maybe you did something long ago, doesn't mean that that's still not what you're supposed to be doing. And I think, Yosef, that's very important, because sometimes we can go, oh, Yahweh called me to write a book, and you write like a couple of pages and you give it to somebody prematurely and then they break you down, you never do it again. That's not what it's about. It's about really leaning in, but also using wisdom when it comes to purpose.
Amen. You know, Leah, there's so much I think that we could be talking about this evening, and it's actually difficult sometimes to break it up. But you know, when I was thinking about what to share this evening, one of the things that came to my mind immediately was, you know, and I want to say this to all of you listening, Yahweh has a purpose with every single one of us. We just have to actually believe it. We have to come to a point where we understand that no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, when you love Yahweh and Yahweh loves you, He has a design, and there is a plan from the very beginning, because He says it in His word. He says that my plan is to prosper you, my plan is to give you a life and a hope and a future. So we have to believe that. But at the same time, I think that if I could give some advice to everybody that I meet in this life, it would be to say to you, and I know this is going to sound really, really obscure, and maybe you're going to be like, okay, but how do I actually do that? The truth of the matter is that let go. We have to learn, you know, there's this saying, I know in Christianity, and people have always said it, you know, let go and let God. But the truth of the matter is, in order for you to discover who you are, you have to let go. And I didn't have that problem in my life. Or actually, I did. My problem was that I was holding on to who I thought I was. And the life that I was living was a life of destruction. It was a life where I was going down a rabbit hole, if I have to put it that way, straight into the grave, and the enemy was taking my life from me every single day because I was living in disobedience, firstly, and secondly, because I was an addict. I was addicted to the substance that I was using, so every day for me was just a survival. But the minute that Yahweh actually spoke to me and said to me, you know what, you need to change your life, it wasn't difficult for me to trust Him, or it wasn't difficult for me to put my hope and my faith into Him, because I had nothing else. There was absolutely nothing left for me to hold on to. So sometimes in this life, what happens is Yahweh is trying to take you on a journey of discovery, take you on a path where He teaches you more of who you are. Not the person that you are when you go to work, or the person that you are when you're with your family, the person that He's created you to be. And sometimes we hold on to who we think we are so much that Yahweh actually has to come and take you by your shoulders and move you onto a different path. And sometimes that path is first, and we always say this, a breaking down, a taking away of layers in your life in order for Yahweh to actually show you that your reliance has now got to be on Him. And I never had that problem to begin with. My life had been shattered to a point where I was either going to die and be in the grave, or I was going to be in jail for the rest of my life. So I had this opportunity where I could start afresh, where I could get to a point where I had to say, well, you know what, Yahweh, there is no other way. There is no other life for me now. I have to trust You. And it wasn't a thing of, okay, I'm going to trust Yahweh so I can get out of my problems. It was more like, Yahweh, I'm going to give this a shot because I have nothing left in my life. And the truth of the matter is, things didn't just happen overnight. It started where Yahweh took me and really, you know, kind of, I had grown up in a Christian family. My father was a pastor, and my mother and father had been in ministry my entire life. So I knew what it was like to go to church. I knew what it was like to serve Yahweh, kind of. I thought I was serving Yahweh at a young age. But obviously, as I grew up and I got to like 18, I decided this isn't for me. This isn't the life I want to live. So I turned my back and I did everything contrary to what I had been taught. So I knew, or I had an understanding of who Yahweh was, but I never really had a transformation experience from the inside out. I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I asked Yahweh to come live in my heart when I was young, and I believe He did. But obviously, as life went on, I kind of went the wrong way. But this day that I landed up in rehab at a point in my life where there was absolutely nothing left, I kind of cried out to Yahweh with this sincerity of a person that was totally broken. And for the first time in my life, I actually felt this change take place. I immediately was delivered from drugs. Immediately, I was set free. I never craved again a cigarette. I never craved again, you know, a needle or heroin or nothing. After that, it was kind of like immediately I was set free. Yes, I had other issues that I had to deal with. But Yahweh set me free right there and then. So why am I telling this to you? Because the truth of the matter is, don't get to a point in your life where Yahweh has to cut things down or chisel things away so much to bring you back to a point where He becomes the one that you totally rely on and put all of your hope, all of your faith, all of your trust in. Because sometimes Yahweh does that. He takes us back in order to take us forward. So Yahweh, I was broken, totally shattered. And there was no one else to rely on. My parents weren't in the country anymore. I had no friends. I had nobody to put my trust in at all. No financial support, nothing. My trust and my hope had to be in Yahweh. And I prayed. And I remember crying out to Yahweh on my own and praying and asking Yahweh to help me. And you know, Yahweh began to bring people from other countries, people from other churches, people from other places to this rehab center, and Yahweh would direct these people to speak into my life directly, right into the areas that I never even knew existed, into places in my life where Yahweh wanted to bring healing and bring change. And it was kind of like I would listen to what these people were saying, and it was kind of the first time that I'd ever heard somebody be able to, you know, hit the nail on the head. And it was almost like, Yahweh, how is this possible that these people that don't even know me know all these things about me? And it was kind of as if Yahweh was sending His children to me so that I could believe and understand who He was. And as time went on, these people would speak words to me that by Yahweh's grace I would remember, and they would kind of go over and over in my head, and it became these things in my life where I understood what Yahweh wanted, but I never understood how am I going to do what Yahweh is asking me to do. It was kind of like I understood that Yahweh had a calling for my life. I understood that Yahweh wanted to use me. I understood that my testimony was going to open doors and all this kind of stuff that people were telling me. But at the same time, it was like, okay, I understand all these things, but how? How are these things going to happen? I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to, you know, how to use anything that these people are saying to me. That nothing. I had nothing. And I remember one day that the pastor said to all of us that he's going to set a time every day that we need to pray as the students. We need to pray for an hour every single day. And you know what's interesting? This prayer meeting started off with everybody attending. Everybody came and everybody prayed. And I was the only one right in the corner that was praying for a whole hour. And as the hour went on, people would just, you know, kind of disappear or sit down. And I asked myself this question, where's the hunger and the thirst for Yahweh? Where's this desire to be changed? And after, I think, about 3 months, the prayer meeting just dissolved. But I carried on. I carried on going every day at lunchtime. I went for an hour and I went to another room and I continued praying. And as I prayed, it was as if Yahweh was beginning to speak to me and I could hear His voice. And it was kind of like, not an audible voice, it was just like a small, still voice. And Yahweh began to share things with me, and I began to write it. You know, writing in a book. Yahweh said, get a book and start to write. And I want to encourage you this evening. If Yahweh says to you, get a book and begin to write. Journal the thoughts that Yahweh gives you. And you know, sometimes these thoughts were crazy, and sometimes they were really magical and wonderful and blessings. But the truth of the matter is, as time went on, Yahweh began to share with me that He wanted me to speak His word of how He saw people's hearts. He wanted me to share that with them. And I was like, how's that ever going to happen? That's impossible. And He said to me, you know, you're going to go through a change. And this is what I want to share with you this evening. When Yahweh tells you that something's going to happen, you have to believe. It's going to be crazy. And the way that Yahweh takes us on a journey is sometimes really crazy. And so what happened was, He said to me that I'm going to speak to you and you will know it. You will know it in your heart, and it will be like a fire. It will burn inside of you. And when you speak, you're going to have to tell people what I'm laying on your heart. And I never knew that Yahweh was going to challenge me in the very church that I was in the first time. That I would have to stand up and go to the front and say to the pastor, Pastor, I need to say something. And that was the first major time where I had to speak. And I went forward and I said to the pastor, "Pastor, during the church service, Yahweh," and I think I was shaking so much and I was so on fire with what Yahweh had put in my heart that this man, I think, saw what was going on. And I went to the front and I began to speak. And it was as if like a trumpet just came from my insides and began to speak out of me. And it wasn't me. It was Yahweh speaking through me. And I don't remember what was said. People said what was said, but I don't remember. I just remember that it was Yahweh's prophetic voice being spoken like so loud and so like profoundly to this church. And I broke down in tears and I went home. And I remember after that, how the enemy played tricks on me, how people would ridicule me, how people would say, you see, you're just trying to be better than everyone else and different, and you think you're cool because you pray more, and you know, all these things would happen, and that's what happens to us. And as we discover more of ourselves, the enemy creeps in and he uses people and circumstances to kind of hammer us. And we either have to push through or we shy away. And oftentimes in our walk, I want you that's listening this evening, think about your life. Think about where you are now and think about where you were when you were saved. Think about the faith and the fire that you had the day that you were saved. And ask yourself the question tonight, do I still have that same fire and passion as I had when I first started? Or has circumstances, situations, and things cause me to become more internally occupied, if I have to put it that way, with myself, than having the fire and the passion of a person that was first saved. You know, we get to a point where we so, how do I say, so hammered down by the things that people say about who we are, that we start to shy away from the truth of who we are, that Yahweh's created us to be. And tonight, I think what Yahweh's trying to say to us is, I want you to remember. I want you to remember who you are. I want you to remember the things I've said to you. I want you to remember the things I've told you. I want you to remember how you burned with fire and how you had a passion for me from the beginning. I want you to cast off. And you know, that's a word that's on my heart tonight, like so clearly. Cast off the things of people and the things that people have said. So I want us to go to a song, Leah, and we'll chat a little bit when we come back.
So we're going to go to our first song of the evening. And you know what? Just take this time, I think, as well. That was really on my heart as well, Yosef. Things that people have said over us, things that people have said over you who are listening, you know, and we need to really reflect on that and to cast them off. And you know, I encourage you that if you feel like your heart beating a bit faster, you feel that is you right now, we're going to play this song. It's a few minutes long. You can take that time to just welcome Yeshua in and just say to him, Abba Father, what is it that you want me to cast off this evening? What are the words that have been spoken over my life that's stopping me from living in the fullness of who you created me to be, for fulfilling the purpose that you have given me, for fulfilling the identity that you have called me, the name that you call me by, the things that you say about me? So we'll see you when we get back after the song.
I just want more of you, God, more of you, God. My heart of who you are. Lord, I'm ready. I just want more. I just want more. More of you, God. More of you, God. I just want more. I just want more. More. Into my heart, come and heal every part, Lord. I want more of you. Just one touch from your rope steals the weakness from my bones. Oh, I need more of you.
To the Restoration Hour. And you know what? It's so good to be with you this evening. We are talking, you know, a little bit about our story as Abba Father has been leading us, and also really about purpose. And Yosef, you, I know that you were talking about when you were in the rehab and, you know, Abba Father beginning to speak to you and then also telling you things and then also, you know, just encouraging you to lean in, hear his voice, understand things, you know, speak the words of truth, speak prophetically. But then, you know, the training ground, I know, for you got a little more intense than that. You know, it was really became about, you know, seeing things and understanding things and, you know, encountering people and places. So I want to know more about that. You know, tell us a little bit more, because that is also really about obedience and also about purpose.
Amen. You know, Leah, this evening as I was listening to that song, I really felt Yahweh say to me that I need to say to some of you that are listening this evening that Yahweh is talking directly to you, and it's important that you hear what he's saying to you. Some of you have been so fearful of going and speaking to people, and Yahweh's been saying to you over and over again that I've given you everything you need to be able to do what I've called you to do. And tonight, Yahweh wants you to know that he will never ever cause you to be ashamed. He will never ever cause you, when you speak to somebody, to be ashamed or to make a fool out of yourself. Yahweh is looking for a person that will be obedient, and in your obedience comes blessing to others. And I want to share with you, so when I was in the rehab, I used to pray, and I used to really find that when I was praying, it was the time where Yahweh would really minister to me and also build up my spirit, and it was important. And it wasn't to be, you know, so that I could be the super spiritual person. It was a safe place. It was a place where I felt peace. It was a place where in the craziness of the entire place that I was in and the mad days that we would have to go through, there was this peace and this true shalom. But it was also a place where I got rejuvenated and refilled by Yahweh's spirit. And it was in this rehab that Yahweh, like I said, took me on a learning curve, a place where I discovered more of the things that he had put inside of me. And why this is important is because it all comes down to obedience. When Yahweh says to us to do something, we do not always understand the impact that that obedience has in his kingdom, or the impact that it will create in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it's so that we learn how to use what Yahweh has given us. But as we grow in that obedience, and as we grow in the gifting that Yahweh has given us, it grows and it kind of impacts more people's lives. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, Yahweh would speak to me and share things with me, but it would burn within my spirit. It would kind of be some, you know, like when you have a friend and you're walking and this friend just doesn't want to keep quiet. This person's just nagging and you the whole time and saying to you, you know what, we got to go home, we got to go home, we got to go home. And you kind of like, man, just be quiet, just stay there. You know, you're too much. But they continue. And it was like that with the Father, where we would be in, you know, in a chapel service and we'd be worshiping, and there would be this thought that would be in my mind continually, and it would be over and over again where Yahweh would say, I want you to go to that person and tell them this, you know, and it wouldn't be a long sentence. It would just be a thought, you know, that Yahweh is their Father, or that Yahweh loves them, or that Yahweh forgives them for X, Y, and Z. And in the beginning, I would be scared to do that, but there would be this overwhelming feeling of Yahweh's love, of Yahweh kind of being right there. I almost felt like Yeshua's arms were around me in every circumstance, and he would say to me, go and do it. And in the beginning, I would do it, and that person that received it most of the time would break down in tears, would totally break down in tears, or would look at me with this face of like, how do you know that? And Yahweh would be able to minister to them because of one simple thing: obedience. And as your obedience grows, and as you do what the Father asks you to do, he gives you greater opportunities to use the giftings that you have been given. Yahweh then took me from being able to speak to people in one-on-one to being able to stand in front of people while preaching a sermon and being able to see what Yahweh had seen in people's hearts, being able to call people out and say, you know what, Yahweh says this. And it wasn't because I was anyone special. It was only because I had nothing inside anymore. I had nothing that could separate me from trusting Yahweh anymore. There was no more holding on to the world or holding on to who I thought I was and being kind of a person with a crutch. There was nothing of that anymore. I was emptied from everything that I thought I could hold on to. Yahweh had taken that totally away, and my reliance and my faith and who I was becoming was totally dependent on who Yahweh wanted me to be. It was kind of like my life. I had no home. I had no income. I had no clothes anymore. I had to totally trust that Yahweh would provide. So in that moment of trusting him, I also came to learn how to trust him in obedience, how to trust him that what he was saying to me was true. So what I'm trying to say to you this evening, when Yahweh tells you to go to somebody and share something with them, we need to know that it comes down to an intimate relationship with the Father. When you're intimate with him in prayer, you will know his voice. And when he speaks to you and you go, there is blessing not only for that person that receives, but there is blessing also for you. So as time went on and as Yahweh did more things, obviously more giftings, you learn to grow in your purpose, and you learn to discover more of who you are. So I think I've shared this story once, but I want to share it with you. So as we were in this rehab and many people were coming in and out, there was this one guy that came in that was, you know, smoking methamphetamines. And as many of you know, in South Africa, we call it tick. It's crystal meth. And this guy was smoking this meth, but he, you know, to everybody else, he seemed like a person that was just, you know, kind of like a normal drug addict, spaced, you know, didn't know where he was. But I felt this overwhelming love towards this person, but also at the same time, this overwhelming caution, kind of like this fire that would burn inside of me, as if to say, like, be careful of what's inside this person. Don't be careful of the person, but be careful of what's inside this person. And as I spent time with him and as I spent time praying, Yahweh began to show me that he was actually demon-possessed, that he had taken on, you know, many of these things in the world and taken on. Basically what happened with him is he had killed and raped his own sister without knowing it. And by doing that, he kind of blacked out and didn't even know what he was doing, because obviously what was inside of him took over. So as time went on, Yahweh began to share with me how to pray and how to work with this young person. And I had no idea, Leah. I had no idea of how to, you know, how to pray or how to work with a person that was like this. I have never, ever done it, ever. I had never prayed for somebody to be delivered from a demon or anything like that. But I trusted in Yahweh. So tonight, what I'm trying to get through to you is this, that when Yahweh says to you that you can be more than what you think you are, you have to believe that sometimes in this life, you might be faced with somebody that's crippled, or you might be faced with somebody that's sick, or you might be faced with a circumstance where you have to pray for that person to be delivered from certain things. And you have to believe in what Yahweh has told you. You have to believe in who you are and that Yahweh can do these things and deliver the person. So as time went on, like I said to Leah, you know, I discovered more of who I am. But it didn't come without trials, and it didn't come without problems. And what I want to share with you before I give over back to Leah is this. As time went on, there was this fire and this kind of, how do I say, this desire to do what Yahweh has called me to do that burned inside of me. But the more I did things for Yahweh, the more there was resistance. The more there was people who came against me, whether it was my family or whether it was friends or whether it was pastors or whether it was leaders or whatever. There was this resistance coming against me. And what I want to share with you this evening is that as you grow with the Father, the enemy begins to recognize and see that growth in your life. And as he begins to see the growth in your life, he begins to use people against you. And sometimes what happens is we as people, we are human, and we begin to kind of succumb to those things. And I did. My own family member came to me one day and said to me, you know, why is it that when you pray, you pray so loud? And why is it when you put your hands on people and you believe these things, why do you do all these kind of things? And I began to think to myself, you know, am I wrong? Is what I'm doing wrong? Is the things that Yahweh has told me, is it wrong? Do I have to tone things down? Do I have to be a different person? And I remember my family member saying to me as well, you know, I don't pray out aloud, because if I pray out aloud, the devil's going to hear me. And if he hears me, then I don't want it. And I was like, what? That's just the craziest thing ever. But as he said that to me, it was kind of like I began to second guess. I began to second guess myself in every area of what I did. And it was just a matter of a little bit of a seed of doubt sowed in my life. And as time went on, years went by and different things happened, the enemy began to use the same tactic with other people and began to see that, hey, you know what? What was said to Yosef here actually impacted him and caused him to regress a little bit. So it's kind of like as I went forward more and there was more opportunities to do things for Yahweh, the same tactic was used by the enemy, the same schemes, the same plan. And it was almost as if I just stopped. I stopped praying in that manner. I stopped speaking into people's lives in the way that I should have. And it was kind of like a pause button was hit. And I want to say to you this evening, don't allow the enemy to distract you. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that you are not good enough or that you shouldn't be doing what you have been called to do. That, you know, sometimes we, like Aaliyah said in the beginning, we hear from the Father who we are supposed to be, but then we believe it in the beginning. And as time goes on, we lose hope and sight of who we're supposed to be. So this evening, I want to encourage you and say to you, your purpose is tied up in obedience, but it's also tied up in believing. Belief and obedience go hand in hand. We have to believe and we have to see and we have to allow the Father to train us in who we are to be.
Sure, amen. You know, Yosef, I want us to go to a song just so that people can kind of absorb this and take this in. If you hear any noise, it is our cat jumping on everything this evening. But you know what? I want us to go to our next song so that we can just take time just to think about what has just been said and to absorb that. And when we come back, we are going to pray together because we really want to be in line with what Abba Father wants to do this evening. So this is Matthew West. It's called Me on Your Mind. Enjoy.
I've read the words in red, how you leave the 99 to find the one missing. Feels like that was written with me on your mind. And the prodigal son who ran, leaving his home behind, the part where the father came running to meet him. Did you say that with me on your mind? Who am I that the king of the world would give one single thought about my broken heart? Who am I? Preparing a place where the sorrow's erased, and when I stand before you, I'll find all along.
What a cool song. I hope that you really enjoyed that song and that it gave you some inspiration and encouragement this evening. You know, I want to just end off this restoration hour before we pray and just say that you never know whom sometimes Yahweh has created you to be. And sometimes the things that you think that you can't do in your life are the very things that you were called to do and that you were created to do and that you were really, really fashioned and crafted to do. And I think that that is probably a story for another day, but it really is a truth that no matter what, and sometimes it's the things that we fear that the enemy has actually, you know, caused us to fear, is the very things that Abba Father has created for us to do. And I know that that was true for me in my life. I really, really feared any kind of public speaking and really never, ever, ever wanted to speak to large groups of people or even more than one person at a time. I still love, you know, small intimate spaces and getting to know people because that is just how I am. But I know that it was such a fear for me to ever think of, you know, maybe speaking to many people or doing this definitely would have been fearful. And it was just something that I really, really struggled with. And for many, many years, it was just a prayer that I prayed. And I actually prayed and said to the Father, and I remember praying this prayer very, very well. And I say that Abba Father never put me in front of people to speak to people. Like, I never, ever want to speak to people because I just feel like it's just not what I'm created to do, you know, just not for me.
Something went wrong somewhere.
And, you know, I really, really prayed, and I want to say this, and I have shared this story before, but it was just one of those magnificent moments that hardly ever happen in life. And I was really praying, and it was 2010, and Yosef and I were just going to get married. And I remember just feeling very happy about, you know, writing and the contentment I felt with just writing and being away from people, away from a crowd. I just felt like I could do my thing, you know, just on my own. And I remember saying to the Father, I pray that I will never have to speak to large groups of people. And isn't it funny how I would pray that prayer? Because I'm praying about something that I'd never done. So why am I praying about Yahweh not putting me in front of people? Why was that my prayer? Why was my prayer, don't ever cause me to stand in front of people, because it's not ever something that I want to do if I'd never had to do that? So sometimes if we look at our prayers a bit closer, we'll realize there's little bits of destiny just waiting to be revealed. And it wasn't even like 5-10 minutes later where I got an email from someone that we knew over social media who became a real great sister in the faith to me. And she sent me an email. In the email, and I kid you not, because Yosef is here as a witness, she said, "Sister, I was praying for you and I felt led to pray for you right now. And I want you to know that Abba Father says that your purpose in life is not to sit in front of your computer and write, but your purpose is to be a mouthpiece and to stand in front of people and to speak for him." And I was just beside myself. I had no idea what to make of this. And I was just like, okay, but you know, my whole thing has always been, Yahweh, if you say it, if you send it, if you give it to me, you know, I'm okay with it. And I said, okay, Yahweh, if that is your plan, then you must help me because I am very afraid. And many years later, Yahweh actually revealed to me that the source of my fear that I carried inside of myself was actually an experience I had from school, a teacher that broke me down in such a intense public way during a class speaking, you know, when you have to do those horrible class speaking things. And I obviously, you know, was a child at the time, I was 14, and the teacher broke me down so badly and reacted in so much anger towards me because I messed up my speech and broke me down in front of the class and belittled me. And that fear that I had carried and the fact that I was running away from my destiny, I was running away from my purpose, the pure place where Yahweh wanted me to be, not the only thing that I would do in my life, but a large part of it, doing this right now, was exactly what I was running away from. But because I had been so broken down, and I think that many of us carry this story, especially school teachers, they can be used by the enemy against us. And I had to work through that. And believe it or not, it took me close to 8 years to work through what happened to me in one moment in that classroom. And I want to say that the very first time that I was ever invited to speak was Passover 2013. And I didn't sleep for 2 weeks, a full 2 weeks before I had to go and speak. I remember feeling very sick. I remember needing the toilet a lot. And I'm going to share that out loud. And I remember, though, that Yahweh really placed me in an amazing place to give my first preach. And it probably wasn't a very good preaching, but I must say that it was a lovely environment. And I'm going to say this, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. In that meeting, I was led to pray for people, and I was led to give words to people. And I knew that that was something that I could do because I had experienced that a lot. And I prayed for a specific person, and that person was going to end up on their deathbed, little known to me or her. But I prayed something to her that I have no memory of today. And I needed to be obedient, even though I was petrified. And in a couple of months after we saw one another, she landed up on her deathbed in a hospital where her friends and her family members came to say goodbye. And this is something that I have shared before, but she had HIV, she had AIDS, it became AIDS, and her body had shut down. She's very old, and she basically was declared almost dead. It was that situation. But there was something that apparently Yahweh had said through me to her that day when I prayed, and she held on to it and she believed it in her heart. Even she remembers while she was lying there, her organs being shut down, her liver shut down, you know, every part of her was shutting down. People came to say goodbye. She was resurrected. And guess what? She sat up eventually the next day and they did tests on her. And to this day, and that was about 7 years ago, she is healed from AIDS, and I have shared that before, and she communicates now with me quite often on WhatsApp. And she always just said to me, Aaliyah, what you said to me that day, I believed it. I have no idea what I said to her, and it was not me. But here's the thing. Imagine if I had allowed that intensity of the fear that I always carried my whole life to stop me from taking that chance, you know, to go to that Passover meeting and to speak at that place, but not only preach the word, you know, be obedient even in my terror of going to people and praying for them. And it would have erased everything. So that is exactly what we are saying this evening as well. Your next step of obedience to Yahweh, your next journey with your purpose that you created for, that could change someone else's life. It can literally bring someone back from the dead. It can literally heal them from a disease that science says cannot be cured. But that is the power that our purpose has, because it's not ours. It's Yahweh working through us to touch people's lives. And I want to encourage you this evening to know that it doesn't matter what was said about you. It doesn't matter. And again, we can cast off those words. Some, maybe for you, it was a school teacher. I know that my mom carried a similar thing through a school teacher that broke her down in front of the class. Isn't that interesting? How the enemy uses similar things. And it got to my mom for so many years, although it was a very different situation. I want to say to you today, do not allow the things that people have said or done in your life prevent you from living the purpose that you were created to live. Sometimes the purpose that you created to live is the thing you are most afraid of doing, but it's because you are called to do that thing. And you are fearful because the enemy doesn't want you to do that thing, because it will change people's lives. Today, I'm so happy that I never stopped at my fear, but that I say to the Father, I will do whatever it is that you call me to do. That if you have called me to this, and I say it to him still today, then you must help me, because I cannot do this on my own. Every time I stand up to speak, and I spoke on Thursday this week at a wonderful meeting, and people come and they say the exact same thing to me. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching the word or I'm telling stories or I'm doing a history thing, which is what I did on Thursday. People say, I'm not going to tell you what they say, but they come to me and they say the exact same thing over and over again. And every time they say it, I say, thank you, praise God. Because the thing that they say is the very thing that Yahweh had to restore in me so that I could do the things that he's created me to do. And you know what? It looks easy sometimes when someone else just lives in their purpose or they just do that thing, but it's not. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of dying to yourself. It takes sometimes doing things afraid. It takes sometimes not having faith because you kind of wobbly. But it takes saying, Yahweh, I don't know if I can, but whatever you're doing, I trust you. And I know for me this year, I've entered a time period where I'm suddenly doing a lot of things that I've never ever done before in positions that I've never ever had before. And I have no idea why I'm doing any of it. I don't know what the greater purpose is. But I said to the Father, I will do it because you have given this to me. The more that I say yes, the more he's giving to me. And the more that he's giving, the more I'm saying, Yahweh, I have no idea why. But I will do it because you are telling me to do it. So sometimes just be obedient. That is why it's called blind faith, you know, because sometimes it is blind, but it takes faith to just keep going. And Yosef, it has been a wonderful time together this evening. And I know that we're going to have a time of prayer because it's important.
Amen. You know, Leah, hey, I'm reminded of a scripture and I want to say this to each one of you this evening. It says, I'm not sure, I think it's in the book of John where it says that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I want you to remember that this evening, that Yahweh has set us free through Yeshua's sacrifice. We are free, and that sometimes the enemy comes and he tries to, you know, capture us again and bind us in all kinds of things of fear and unbelief and all kinds of, you know, thoughts that go through our mind. But I want you tonight to remember who you are and to remember that day that you were saved and set free. And that the Father has given us, as we said in the beginning, all things for life and godliness. He has given us everything we need to be able to do what he has called us to do. So this evening, I want us to pray and I want us to trust and believe that the Father has got greater things for each one of us. And that he who started that work in you is faithful and just to bring it to completion. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua this evening, Father, for each and every person that has joined us. Father, we thank you for their lives. We thank you, Father, for the work that you are doing in their lives. And I want to pray this evening, Father, that they will become all that you have created them to be. I pray, Father, that every single weapon, Father, that you have given to them, Father, that they will learn how to wield those weapons, how to use them, Father, how to take them into battle, Father, how to position themselves, Father, in the battlefield, and how to trust you. I pray, Father, that their faith and that their obedience, Father, will grow. And Yahweh, that they will not be swept away, Father, by the things of this world, but instead, Father, that they will say that I'm here, I'm ready, I'm wanting to be used by you. I pray, Father, as Leah said, Father, that our fears will not cause us, Father, to pause and to stop doing what you have called us to do. Father, every single one of us have fear. I have fear still, Father, every time I stand up in front of people. But Yahweh, in you we are able to do. In you, Father, we are able to overcome. In you, Father, we are able to stand tall. In you, Father, we are able to proclaim, and we are able to speak, and we are able to pray for other people. So, Father, I pray that everybody that is listening this evening, Father, will position themselves in you, in an intimate relationship with you, and Father, that your Spirit will guide them into all truth. I also pray, Father, that those of us that have taken your words, Father, and buried them and put them in places, Father, where we've hidden them away because of fear or because we haven't believed, Father, that we can be those things. I pray, Father, that you will help us to discover those places again, to discover the depth of who we are in you, to discover the depth of who you are to us, Yahweh, and who you want to be to us. And I pray for that, Father. I also pray this evening, Yahweh, that you will help us in this generation, Father, to be all that we can be and to be the people of your hands, Father, and the people of your voice. I thank you for every person that has joined us this evening. I pray that you will bless them and their families, Father, that you will make them strong and courageous, and Father, that they will not be moved, Father, by anything in this world, but moved by your voice alone. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. May Yahweh bless you, may he keep you, and may he make his incredible face to shine upon you, each of you and your families. And as you go out into this new week, we pray that it will be a Shavua Shavua Tov. And we want to say thank you for being with us during this restoration hour, for being with us during this time so that we could, you know, really just share whatever Father's Spirit wanted us to share. May his Spirit continue to minister to you even though we won't be together on this broadcast anymore. But may he continue to minister to you late into the night hours, late into the afternoon, so that he can just set you on fire and, you know, just do what his will is, do what he wants to do. And may you live a purposeful life in Yeshua's name. See you next week. Take care. We're going to play out with one of my favorite songs at this particular time. It's called Say I Won't by Mercy Me. Until next week, see you then.
Shalom.
Thank you. day it all begins. I'm seeing my life for the very first time through a different lens. Yesterday I didn't understand. Driving 35 with the rocket inside, didn't know what I had. While I've been waiting to live, my life's been waiting on me. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live. And my journey. Not enough is what I've been.